I'm on. All right. Well, I greet each and every one of you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful to be here tonight. I was thankful for the service this morning. I really felt the Spirit, and I'm thankful for that because, you know, times that we live in, we need the Spirit. We need the Spirit with us day by day, and we need it in every aspect of life. I even wrote that on the back of the sermon topic here, and that's what we're going to be kind of talking about today. And I'm going to admit to you right off the get-go that I was doing a lot more to this today, and it didn't save. So I have what I probably originally intended as I was telling my wife what I wanted to do. That's going to happen because everything that I added today was probably going to draw this out a lot further. And I was telling my wife last week, I was like, or the last time after I preached, I said, you know, I'd really like to be able to shrink down a sermon and get it within 20 minutes, you know, get my message, get to the point and be done. I can never do that. And so I'll admit to you, I'm intended today to get this message across, and it's a message that the Lord put on my heart, but I want to shrink down. I don't want to be done at 7 o'clock. I want to get out of here. Not, I don't want to get out of here. Boy, that was bad to say, right? No, I'd like to be able to condense my message into about 20 to 25 minutes, and what transpired today probably will help to that cause, but I'm thankful for that, thankful for that which the Lord gives and for those things that he puts on our minds and in our hearts to be able to share. It's a blessing. And really, you know, work has been pretty crazy for me lately. We got some big projects going on with the airport. Things are happening, and there's things that are happening on top of things that are happening. We have the Super Bowl coming here next year, so things are starting to get crazy with that. There's all kinds of construction going on. And really, one of the things, and our brother Jim had mentioned it during his testimony this morning, is how the Lord is with us through a lot of the things that transpire in our lives. We just have to be open to be able to see it and to understand it and to know that he is there. And I'm thankful for that because it's really something that has motivated me to be able to apply him in every aspect of our life. And I start thinking about that and seeing how he works throughout our daily lives, within our personal life, within our working life, our social life, how beneficial it is to include and to have that desire for God to be there, his Spirit to be there with us, to lead us, to help us, to guide us in these days. And it truly is something that I believe, you know, you are rewarded time and time again, twofold, threefold, when you really have that forethought of applying the principles of the gospel and having that desire to have the Lord's Spirit be with you in every aspect of your life. And so we're going to read some scriptures here. I'm going to keep it pretty short, but I was reading and I was thinking about when Christ was requesting Simon to go out and to borrow his boat, to go out in the water and to preach to the masses of the people because they were pressing upon him. And so I started reading that and started thinking about that a lot in the recent past few days. And really, that message has kind of came to fruition with some thoughts that I wanted to share and some principles that go along with that. And so I'm going to get started. I'm going to do that in Luke chapter 5. For those that want to follow along, I'm going to read the first five verses here. We're going to start off with that, and I'm going to continue on, and we'll get into the next few verses. And it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him," Christ, "to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," this is the Sea of Galilee, "and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." So the fishermen were done for the day. This is Simon. "And he entered into one of the ships," which was Simon, "and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. But I wanted to back up here and start and kind of put us in this situation and kind of look at those things and what was going on at this time of day. They were basically wrapping up a long, hard day, and they fished through the night. Now, fishing, I'm sure there's a lot of things that people have to do to prepare to go fishing. And you start off really early in the morning a lot of times. These fishermen, this is their livelihood. This is what they do. And my family and I, we watch some fishing shows, Wicked Tuna and other fishing shows. And it's interesting because this is the livelihood. This is these people's livelihood. So they put all this time and this effort into going out and being able to provide for their family, being able to get these commodities. Their commodity was the fish to be able to earn a living. And so they pour their heart and their soul into this. And it can be pretty frustrating when you go out all day and all night and you don't catch anything. And we're going to get to those scriptures, but these gentlemen, you know, they're closing up shop, so to speak. They're getting ready. They're preparing to go home. I'm sure they're hungry. Their hands are probably tired. They were out all night. I'm sure they were cold. They were worn out. It's a long day. And then when it comes to the night, it's even longer. How weary, how tired you are. But this, again, is their livelihood. And they were diligent. They had a desire to catch fish. They wanted the rewards from catching the fish, which is able to provide for themselves, for their family, be able to have that those commodities to trade, to gain, and to be able to support their means. And, you know, one of those things that comes with fishing is patience. And my kids and I go fishing quite a bit. And it's kind of interesting because if you're not catching, you're fishing. And if they're not catching fish, it really kind of subsides pretty quickly of their focus on what is being done. And, you know, before you know it, a few hours in, you know, it's kind of a leisure time more than a fishing time. And with these gentlemen, though, I'm sure they were hard at work and they were doing this throughout the whole night, trying to get the means to be able to provide for their families. And so I find it interesting that, you know, Christ walks up and he asked, hey, you know, I know you guys are all done for the day. Can we just go ahead and do this? Let me borrow your boat so we can preach to these people. And I'm sure the Spirit of the Lord was impressing on them, and they knew that something good was going to become of this. There was going to be a reward behind this. And so what did they do? They went ahead and they did as Christ asked. And we're going to go in here and read a few more verses here, 6, 7, and 8. And when they had let's back up and reread 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And so, you know, I'm sure there was a little bit of frustration on Simon's part because, hey, man, we tried this. We've been there. We've done that. We came up empty. We had nothing to be able to show for this. And then in verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And so that's something I wanted to point out here is that, you know, through all this hard work, through all this effort that they were going through to try to catch these fish, that, you know, there was a time where they gave themselves to Christ and put their trust in him to be able to provide. I'm sure his Spirit was working within them. I'm sure they knew that something was going to, good was going to become of it. And the Lord proved it to him. And so I look at that and I know that in our lives and those things that we encounter, those trials that we go through, the daily work activities that we do, I've seen the fruits of the labor of myself, of others, of testimonies that we even heard this morning, when we say prayers about the struggles that we're having, trying to accomplish, trying to understand something, how Christ proves himself and blesses us when we bring him into our lives, when we ask him to be able to support us, to give us knowledge, to give us the wisdom we need, to be able to accomplish these things, to be able to provide, to be able to help others, to show others in any different way, in any different aspect that we encounter. And it says here, I read the commentary from Matthew Henry. I wanted to share that with you. It says, "With what cheerfulness may we go about the duties of our calling when we have been in the Mount of God, and from thence fetch a double blessing into our worldly employments." We receive a double blessing. You know, when we really take the principles that the gospel teaches us and how to go about preparing for a sermon, preparing for a PowerPoint for work, preparing for a business meeting here, how when we seek the counsel of God and take those the guidance and direction that he gives us, the abilities that we have, and give them over to God, how that helps us be able to produce that fruit for him. And it does. It helps me be cheerful. As I was saying, you know, we have a lot going on at the airport, and, you know, sometimes I wish that I was a technician still. It was really nice a lot of times to be the technician, because you get your work order, you got your orders, you know what to do, you know what to fix, you know how to fix it, and you know kind of what your objective for the day is. You know, it's pretty straightforward. There's challenges in that, which are fun, and we try to complete the task, and when you do, you feel like you're rewarded. But now, overseeing people, being in a different role, a different position with more responsibilities, there's a bigger picture to everything, because there's a lot of intricacies that are involved with every aspect that is going on at the airport that I got to be involved in. I have to be able to correspond with other using sections. I have to be able to communicate effectively to my staff and to give clear direction. And all those things, I've been learning that if I focus on how God wants me to communicate, it comes across a lot more effectively, with clarity, with a purpose, with a goal, and with rewards with that goal. We see how, even though we have such a little role, how it plays a big part in everything. And I appreciate that, and will appreciate that as we grow in the gospel and we see those things that we accomplish and give glory to God for, because when we bring him into our lives and ask him for the help that we need, he's there. He's there in every aspect to lift us up, to encourage us, to help us be cheerful in doing that, to be able to help us and lift us up and give us motivation and to give us a desire, to give us ambition, to give us all those things that really helps us know that there's good things to come when we apply ourselves, when we're diligent, when we're seeking after those things that the fruits of the Spirit that God gives us. It gives us a sense of joy. It gives me joy to be able to know that every morning when I wake up, as much and as hard it is to get out of bed, that there's a purpose in my life for that day. And all of us have a purpose in our lives for the day that we live in. It says here, "It is our wisdom and duty to manage our religious exercises as that they may befriend our worldly business." And so, to manage our worldly business as that it may be no enemy to our religious exercises. And so, a lot of times when I first started getting into the private sector and the environment that I worked in, it was very hard. Isaac could probably attest to this. It was very hard to be able to express your beliefs and understandings with the environment and the group and the culture that you were in, especially in the field of, you know, being a mechanic. And it was difficult. But now I found that the more that I do that, the more there is a good impression that's left behind. There's a good understanding of, you know, what as a leader, what as a supervisor, what as a person, you know, a person, a child of God, the importance in that and what an effect it has on others. So we need to see that just as this example here, you know, as we are asked to and we are led by the Spirit to do things, the rewards and the blessings that come from that. And so it says here, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. And so, you know, there's these worldly things and pleasures that we go after continuously. And if we put those things aside, if we understand what the purpose of God is in our lives, he helps us be prosperous. He helps us be prosperous in ways and gives us rewards in ways that the world can't offer. And even much more so here, that if we're constantly following after him and we're constantly guided by him, we're going to be able to overcome all those things that the world throws at us. There's I have a few things down here. There's hardships. There's fatigue. There's weariness. There's stress. There's frustrations. There's all kinds of obstacles that we deal with on a daily basis. And knowing that God can provide an abundance of anything that we need to be able to lift us up, to help us be able to be motivated, to have a desire to be cheerful in doing so, we need to understand that and reach out to God and have him in every part of our lives, whether it's school, business, social, private. He needs to be there with us. And he wants us to be there with us. He wants us to be able to know of those things and to see those things and to experience those things that he has to offer. And all we have to do is put our trust in him, have that hope and have that desire of good things to come and to see all the rewards that go along with that. And it says here in Proverbs 24, it says, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked should be put out. And again, I like what Matthew Henry speaks towards this verse here in Proverbs. He says, he cautions against envying the pleasures and the successes of wicked men in their wicked ways. And there's so many things that are broadcasted into our lives through so many different avenues. And a lot of these things could be desirable. You know, seeing these things that people do, seeing the things that people have, seeing the mansions that some of these superstars have. We know that the Super Bowl is coming up. So they've been kind of doing these little segues on some of these football stars and just their lifestyles. And I can see how people have desire of that, how they can envy that. But there's so much more that God gives that is more valuable than that. Those things don't bring the joy. Those things don't bring the pleasure. Those things don't bring the peace in your life. But the things that God has for us does. And so he says here, we must not in any case fret ourselves or make ourselves uneasy. Whatever God does in his providence, how disagreeable soever it is to our sentiments, our interests, and our expectations, we must acquiesce in it. Even that which grieves us must not fret us, nor must our eye be evil against any, because God is good. How many times have we heard across the pulpit that God is good? And this really stood out to me because we hear it all the time. And here's Matthew Henry saying that. And it's there. It's there for us to read. And to me, that gives me a trust and an understanding and the knowledge that this is true. And just like our sister Kim said, in the eye of two witnesses, three witnesses, we believe this is true. And God's Spirit gives us his Spirit. God gives us his Spirit. to be able to understand that and to believe that. And so what does it mean to fret? It's to be agitated, to be angry. You know, we shouldn't be angry. We shouldn't be agitated about those things that God has a desire for us to do in our lives and why we need to do it. It's God's plan. It's God's plan in our life. It's the purpose he gives us. And when we do those things and we receive those things and do those things, we see the rewards in that. And then just like in James chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." So if we love God, if we follow after him, if we do these things, despite all those wonderful worldly things that people think so highly of and envy after, are going to mean nothing to us. It's something that God puts in our heart and gives us understanding of when we have that Spirit working with us. It gives us clarity. It gives us discernment, a good understanding of how we should be living our lives. And then just like 1 Corinthians chapter 3, this is Paul to the Corinthians. I like this. I like this, these verses here, because we have a responsibility. All of us do. As I've been taught by the apostles, by the evangelist, by the elders, by the priest, you know, I have to take those things that I've learned and I have to apply them in my life. I have to change my life to be able to understand where it is I'm going in the wrong direction and why I'm going there, and adjust it and make the corrections to where it aligns with God's Spirit in the direction he wants me to go. But I can't expect the ministry to do that for me. I can't expect, you know, those things to change unless I'm willing to change them within myself. And so here it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "Who then is Paul? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But the ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." So it's on us. We can rely on our brothers and sisters to help us out, but really when it is rendered down, when it comes down to it, before we stand before the bar of God, it's on us. We have that responsibility. We have to make those changes. We have to make those corrections. And I believe that when we do those small things, small corrections, redirection in our lives, a new thought process, how do I understand where this person is coming from and be able to bridge the gap? How do I express how I'm trying to accomplish this goal and to make somebody believe? How do I apply these principles in my life, but even more so in the lives of those that I encounter at work or at school, in those places of business, in my social life? We meet new people all the time. We have the opportunity all the time. God gives us that opportunity. I think that there's huge rewards in all those efforts that we put into these things. Should we be frustrated? No, we shouldn't. We should understand that even if we don't see something become in a moment of seed that we planted, that there will be, we have faith, we have hope that there will be something that grows from that. And so, you know, all of us, we go to work for a reason. You know, just like Simon and his responsibility with fishing, you know, we have a responsibility and we have a reason why we do these things, why we go to school, why we get educated, why we continue our education, because we have a desire to be subject matter experts. We have a desire to make more money, to be able to provide, to be able to support, to be able to contribute, to be able to donate, to be able to gift to other people. And so all those things, you know, I look at that and how when we apply the principles of the gospel, there's all kinds of blessings that make us richer and richer in the Word of God. And in some ways, it leads to success in our business lives. I believe that if we apply those principles, that we can understand that God's Spirit, God's will, rewards us in ways. Whether it's as simple as having a better day at work day by day, increasing and improving the morale of those around you, your working conditions, being a light to others, how it can uplift and change a work environment or a classroom environment. All those things, we get the rewards from that. We see that when we apply these principles. And, you know, all of us go to work to receive a check. There's monetary funds that we receive from putting our efforts and our knowledge forth. And, you know, I really like payday. You know, it's nice. It's nice to receive the funds from the efforts that we put forth. And, you know, some of us are still working towards that. Some of us are, you know, almost through that. Some of us are past that and living in retirement. But throughout all of our lives, no matter what chapter of life that we're in, there's blessings and rewards that come from God. And it's a continuous payday. It's a payday every day. You can see, if you apply yourself and let that Spirit of God work with you, you can see the rewards that come from that. You could touch lives. It's completely possible. So I have a riddle that my Sunday school class is not allowed to raise their hands, but it's going to be very rewarding. It's going to be an awesome, huge payday for you. Now we'll select, we'll whoever raises their hand first, and I'll ask in advance that if you already know this riddle, give somebody else an opportunity. Let them think about it, you know, because in all those things in life, you know, like with the kids and stuff like that, when they're doing their math, I hear one of my kids, I won't mention any names, pretty much request the answers from my wife. They want my wife, Alicia, to do the work. But no, stop. Think about it. Figure it out. That's what life's all about, right? Get an understanding, because once you have to go through it and you have to figure it out for yourself, you kind of tend to remember that a lot better than when somebody else does it for you. So I'm going to put this riddle up. It's related to the gospel. And we're going to see, there's going to be a big payday on this one, okay? Here we go. I'll read it out loud. God made Adam out of dust, but thought it best to make me first. So I was made before the man according to God's holy plan. My whole body God made complete, without arms, hands, or feet. My ways and acts did God control, but in my body he placed no soul. A living being I became, and Adam gave me a name. And from his presence I withdrew, for this man, Adam, I never knew. All my maker's laws I do obey, and from these laws I never stray. Thousands of me go in fear, but seldom on earth appear. Later for a purpose God did see, he placed a living soul in me. But that soul of mine God had to claim, and from me took it back again. And when this soul from me had fled, I was the same as when first made. Without arms, legs, feet, or soul, I traveled on from pole to pole. My labors are from day to night, and to men I once furnished light. Thousands of people, both young and old, did by my death bright lights behold. No right or wrong can I conceive. The Bible and its teachings I can't believe. The fear of death doesn't trouble me. Pure happiness I will never see. And up in heaven I can never go, nor in the grave or hell below. Anybody think about it? We'll give you an opportunity to answer this. And it's a huge payday for you. That's your reward. Oh, did I stump everybody? Jay, do you know? No? Okay. All right. I'll give it a second here. Now I'm excited. I thought there was going to be hands up all over the place. I was going to have to call on somebody. Andy, Ooh, no. Good try, though. It has no arms and legs, right? It fulfills a lot of the criteria that here that was presented. Oh, man. Here, maybe this will help. The huge payday is right here. So you get a huge payday. Kim. It's a whale. Here you go. Good job. It's a whale. Here you go. Huge payday. So I'm kind of curious if my Sunday school kids remember this. We did a fun day where we did these riddles. Do you guys remember this one? Oh, Caleb did. Okay. So yeah, it's a whale. And I just wanted to do this little bit of a fun activity just to be able to help us understand that, you know, sometimes life is a riddle, right? We have all these things that we deal with, and sometimes we can't figure them out. But if we just sit down, we take the time, we pray about it, we think about it, we let that calmness come over us, God will give us the answer. He'll give us. It's kind of funny how that works. My wife gave that testimony today at the service. I had no intention of relating that to my sermon, and it all just kind of worked. And I'm thankful for that. That's a blessing. That's a proof to me that God works in our lives. The messages that He gives us, the understanding that He gives us, and the knowledge that He gives us, and the experiences that He gives us are all true. That we're witnesses to that. And my desire and my hope is that all of us have that desire to continue to be cheerful in this day in which we live, do those things that you can do, and to give of what you can give, and have that desire and that motivation and that ambition to continue on. Even as life could be like a riddle and we can't figure it out, ask the Lord to be there. He will be there with you through every aspect. And there's rewards that come with that in our daily life, our personal life, our family life, our social life, our school life. All those different things and different chapters that we deal with day by day. Just ask the Lord. Ask Him to be there with you, and He'll prove it to you. Thank you. And I did it. I did it. I'm excited about that.